When you conduct a capital funds campaign, how do you go about it?
Well, this is we actually had a committee, and we set up a $2 million goal, mm-hmm. and the alumni association undertook to sort of back the mm-hmm. the drive, and refurbishing the dorms was a very attractive thing to the alumni because Scripps has a great it is a beautiful, it's really a lovely campus, and it's a very intimate sort of a campus, and so it had a lot of appeal, but of course we had help from foundations and outside sources, but we worked hard to get as much alumni participation mm-hmm. as possible, and we did. We finally scared me to death. I didn't know whether we'd ever do it or not, but we got a lot of people and took a lot of effort, but a lot of people jumped in, and of course we found out that $2 million wasn't really enough. It came to almost $3 million, so we had to work a little harder on the outside, but we made it, so
congratulations.
We're just now finishing that. And that takes me back to the nursery when we decided to build a New East nursery. That had been, because I was not in charge, actually in charge of all the fundraising myself. It was just part of the group. But it made me think of the day nursery when we started to raise money for that. Because the day nursery had such a loyal following, and mm-hmm. actually we did have, through the sale of the old building,
mm-hmm.
which we accomplished, we had some money to start with there, and then we had to raise the additional money, and it was a lot of those early members of the board of directors were the ones that came to the rescue in that
mm-hmm.
fund drive that was the one that I was sort of in charge of.
Was that at the time when you were president of the day
nursery? No, that was after that, I think. It was after I had been president.
Uh-huh.
But you see, in those days, there was no term of office on the mm-hmm. on the board, so I think I was on that for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to get rid of me. That was the one accomplishment that Mel Loader and I decided should be done, was to limit terms on the board, although actually the board over the years had turned over pretty well just by attrition of people that dropped out for one reason or another. But of course Florence Bixby was president for 35 years
mm-hmm.
and Mrs. Case was on the board. Her life's ambition almost is to be on the board for 50 years, and she was. So we didn't feel that we could change the bylaws until Mrs. Case had
mm-hmm.
made her 50 years, and she was a valuable member the whole time she was on there. She was a very intelligent woman and very active and interested in the nation. And, but we thought the time had come to limit terms so that you can beyond, I guess it's 9 years, it's
mm-hmm.
still the same,
mm-hmm.
and off for a year and then go back on if you want, but that's mm-hmm. to keep it from getting too stagnant.
Well, when I spoke with Mel Floater Richard, she said that some of the older board members were a little reluctant to let anyone else in, that they were maybe feeling that the younger woman couldn't really do it.
Well, Bix's mother, of course, was one of the original members of the board of directors, and so I really must say that when it came time for me to try and get that extra money for the nursery, it was those people like Mrs. Clark and Mrs. Knight and Mrs. Harriman and Mrs. Case, and you know, a lot of the women who by then were Mrs. Weber, and a lot of those women who had been on the board in the past were the ones that I went to,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they were just old friends,
mm-hmm.
and had been friends of my family, and, as well as Bex's family.
What year did you go on the board, do you remember?
25 years, no, I really don't. I'm terrible about dates.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't remember.
It was in the...
No, yeah, it was after. Because, it was in the... No, let me see. I'm trying to think now. I think I was on the board in the late 30s, probably in the early 40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me something about Florence Bixby, her role in guiding that board for all those years?
Well, she was the one that started it, and of course they were the ones that built the West Nursery and also gave the East Nursery in honor of their son John.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one that, you know, put the whole thing together.
Well,
and got the women.
Yeah. I've read Gray Sink and How It Started, and I see references to Alice Graydon of the Associated Charities approaching Florence Bixby and saying there's a need. But nowhere have I been able to find out what was the Associated Charities. Do you know what it was?
Well, it was sort of the predecessor of, we'll say, United Way.
Oh, I see.
There were a few evolutionary groups in the government that were sort of together, but I don't think they ever, I don't remember they ever having a fund drive as such as the United
mm-hmm.
Way does now.
So it wasn't
but
private.
They might have.
It was a private group. It wasn't a city supported.
Yeah.
I mean, it was financial.
No, I don't believe so. No, I don't think so.
Well, then, do you know why she would have gone to Florence 16?
Well, of course.
Assumptions?
Yeah. I think she undoubtedly, you know, knew her, knew who she was, and figured she had resources, and she was a very generous person, as it that is obvious from what they did, and I think it appealed to her, and she started out and formed the board of directors, and did the building, and they got started.
Mm-hmm. Well,
she was a perfectly delightful woman, as you well know. I'm sure everyone has said that, and a lovely, just a lovely person.
Well, then I assume that she obviously went to her friends and in some cases relatives by marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bixby's mother, Avis Bixby, was vice president of the first board in Palestine for a long time.
Yes, she did, a long time. I think she kind of thought that Avis, that's his sister, would go on the board, but Avis was not really interested and was gone out of town. Her husband was a geologist, and so they were not around all that much, and Avis might have gone, you know, followed her mother in the nursery, but wasn't here. So I guess I was the next one come along, and they asked me to be on the board. And so, and then subsequently, Jean, of course, was.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it was a Bixby on the board for a good many years.
Mm-hmm.
One following the other. I think the nursery is very unusual in that it has several second and, in this case, the third generation board members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there were Cox and Hubbles.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And, is there somebody else? Well, of course, Mel Loader wasn't actually a board member, but then her daughter followed in her footsteps and was just president, so that's kind of an unusual situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then there aren't a lot of agencies that have been around that long either, so.
No, it's an amazing agency, I think, the work that it's done in the community.
Yeah.
And also because of the tremendous local community support. Do you think that's really the reason that it's been so successful?
I think that's probably one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I think is interesting about it is that it's an all-woman board. That might be a little unique, too. Although when I was on the board, there was a men's advisory committee, which dealt
with financial and that sort of thing. And there still is.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's something I thought of, and it slipped my mind. Yeah, maybe I'll think of it in a minute.
Well, I noticed a reference to the Margaret Hathaway Emergency Fund. Can you tell me anything about that? Margaret Hathaway, yeah, I'm sure. Margaret Hathaway Bixby Fund.
Right.
And the Emergency Fund for Working Mothers.
Well, you see, when the nursery first started, they had, they used to get food together and do that sort of thing. It was quite a personal thing. And then the children, would take care of seeing that they were clothed and that sort of thing, because, of course, it was small then. And the board members, I guess one of the reasons the ties are strong with the day nursery is because the board members all work. I mean, they really, it's a working board.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is on a committee that they used to do the housekeeping themselves, you know, in the early days. And even now, when the nurseries are closed through summer work and refurbishing and so forth, it's the board members do a lot. They get the curtains, do the cleaners, and they do a lot of that work. So, all that kind of stuff, and see everything's painted, and sometimes they put on wallpaper, and so it's a rather different environment than most boards, and I think you get more of a family feeling of it. Than you do on a lot of other boards where you go and you sit and you give your best advice and then that's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one reason the day nursery board has been strong and it's held the ties and the loyalty of the people that have been on the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, another name that was...
Oh, you're asking about the fund. I don't go on about that. I think that was what they were using this fund for in case of during the Depression and those hard times why often didn't have enough food.
Yeah,
okay.
Do you know if it's still in existence?
Yes, and I think they're just using the income, but we have, well, I guess it's still in, as far as I know, it's still in existence.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a large fund, as I recall, it was about $5,000 originally. And so they just kept in a separate account and then accumulate the interest off of it. And they're still using it.
Then in one way or another, women of every branch of the Bixby family have contributed.
Yes,
to that.
I would say just about.
Mm-hmm. Bixby would have been Joseph Bixby's wife. And then Llewellyn Bixby side and Fred Bixby side of the family. Another name that I saw early on was Mrs. George Flint, Maud.
She was a cousin. Relative.
Flint,
yeah.
One of those. But she was also on
the family. Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
And I believe she was the daughter of Charles Healy, who was one of the original surveyors of all the
French
property.
Mm-hmm. See, the Flint Bixby Company they were cousins, yeah. The ones that came from Maine out.
Uh-huh.
So she was related to that side of the family.
Uh-huh.
Most of the kids lived in, when they sort of split the northern half and the southern half of the
Mm-hmm.
The parents took the northern California son, Juan Batista,
mm-hmm.
up in that area, and the 60s side came down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the family that she went into, married into.
Well, more on the nursery then in its relationship with the community. Certainly, Rotary has been very active.
Yes, the Uncle Joe Martel was quite a name in the early days of the nursery, and they got really interested in it. I think a lot of the men that were, you know, just in that early group were in Rotary, and so they were interested too, and they have done a lot of wonderful things for the nursery through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, the Kiwanis Club, too. But Rotary, of course, was there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Joe Martel, as he was known, was quite a character. He was quite involved in the early days of Tipsnick, wasn't it, too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was first on the board of going down to a benefit, I don't know, a theater someplace down on the pike, can't remember exactly where it was. And Uncle Joe Martel put on a party, you know, for the Tipsnick Linux training.
Yeah, that's another relationship with Adelaide Kitchener, and she contributed one of the original buildings for the Bay Nursery, I think. When they were first on American,
yes, 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 she was involved in that in those early years, and then when she got the money in trust for the what is Tipsnick Clinic now, and the early days there, Bill Grace and B.F. Tucker, and a lot of the older. Well, and that's where Uncle Joe Martel, I know, was, you know, gave parties and things to help teach me.
So you served on that board also?
I'm still on that board.
Oh. Yeah. Can you tell me something about clinic?
Well, it's quite a unique organization, I would say, because I think we're probably the only agency in Canada ever had a public film drive.
Oh,
which is sort of hard to believe, but because it started because of the polio epidemic in the early 30s,
mm-hmm.
and that was such a drawing card as far as appeal
mm-hmm.
to people that besides the endowment that she left, for the clinic, over the years, there were many people of that era who left money to the clinic and we're still continuing to get money through endowments. Of course, we and people through their wills and so
mm-hmm,
forth,
mm-hmm.
and we've tried to keep up the interest in it as much as possible, because it may not go on forever, but then it is amazing how many people and some people that we don't even really know where they found out about it have left us funds. And so far, over the years, we've had good management, and so as money has built up and accumulated, and so we have so far, we do get outside help. I don't mean that the endowment takes care of all the expenses, because we have help from different eval club and different groups that give us support.
Mm-hmm.
Bricklackers, braces, and the eval club for a lot of the braces that we have. But of course, now that polio is not the good it was. We branched out into other fields, and we have a little cerebral palsy nursery school that we operate, which is in a bungalow right behind the Kitchener Clinic. The Kitchener Clinic is now right next to Community Hospital Terminal. And so we operate that under the guidance of Kitchener. And we are doing other kinds of things besides just polio patients, because there really aren't all that many we take any physical disability. We have quite a few scoliosis, which is very quite prominent in young people. And we're into a new program there, where the children wear these devices at night. It's an electrical stimulator to the muscles. And if they're conscientious and do it, it can lead to the correction of the curvature without the use of the braces that they used to have to wear. So young Charles Durnan is the one in charge of that program. And we're just going to have a recognition dinner for Dr. John Rowe in June, because he's going to be retiring from the medical profession, and I think he's been head of the medical staff for, I believe I'm right, 24 years. So we have a lot of loyal people. And Harry Buckleman was really interested in Kitchener. D.F. Tucker was another one that was on the original board. So that's a very interesting
project.
Jean got interested in swimming. She taught swimming summer times and for, I don't know how many years, 12 or 15 or something like that, when she was in high school and college, and not in high school, but when she was in college. And then all the time she was teaching, and after that, until she started working full time, she was still going.
Mm-hmm. So, is a Kitchener Clinic affiliated with Community Hospital in any direct way, or is it just that it's right next to it?
No, it's next to it. They do, we use some of their facilities, and we use their operating rooms, and we have our x-rays taken over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have reciprocal arrangements, and if we have patients that need to, they're operating on, of course we use their bed facilities, but we take care of them. They don't charge us, full rates.
Mm-hmm.
They give us a break on that. We give them breaks too.
To my delight.
Yes, it is.
Well, members of your family have been involved at Community Hospital on that board too, haven't they?
Well, Jean's the one.
Uh-huh.
She was president of that foundation. Now she's a board representative on the new health, Western Health, Western Hospital Consortium that the community has joined.
Mm-hmm.
She's now their representative. Community Hospital's representative on that board.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still up to her neck.
As well as working. The company full time. Mr. Bixby says she is now the president.
Yes, she is. And he's very proud of her.
Yeah, I think he should be.
She's a such a blow when we lost our son, and,
yes.
To have somebody in the family come along, I think it was just an absolute lifesaver for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's so capable that,
mm-hmm.
she just moved right in, and it's been absolutely marvelous.
She probably enjoys it, too.
Yes, she does. She really does. And, I don't know how she does what she does, because she's president of Red Cross, too, this year.
Oh.
And, of course, family's been involved in Red Cross over the years. I used to work on Red Cross for a good many years, and then Jean's been on the board there for quite a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jean is also on the board of trustees at Scripps.
Yeah.
So she has plenty to keep it busy.
Certainly seems to be very, very busy, very capable. I know that, didn't she receive the Gorky Award from the
Yes, she did. For Los Angeles County, which
mm-hmm.
was quite amazing.
Mm. Well, I think maybe she followed your example. You certainly have.
I think she surpassed me, I'm sure, by a long way.
Well, one other activity that we haven't talked about that you've been involved in, but certainly the Junior Charity League, which then became the Junior League. So, can you tell me something about that? About, well, when did the Junior Charity League begin in Long Beach, or do you know that?
About 19, I could look it up, as a matter of fact, but let me see, must have been... We were married in 1934, and I think I was asked to join just before Mary,
mm-hmm.
after I graduated from
mm-hmm.
Scripps and came to Long Beach. So that was about 34, I think. And so I think then it actually started just a few years before that, maybe
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to meet down in the old, on Atlantic Avenue in the old, colony.
The Wayside
Colony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little room up there, I remember that so well. But I suppose they were, by the time I got on the board, they were, there weren't too many. There were maybe 35 or 36 women, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
about the time I joined.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started going from there.
And you served as president, I believe.
Yes. In the early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember very well being pregnant with Barbara. I was pregnant with Dex when I was, and I didn't know it was going, he was going to turn out to be a boy, the first one, and I was asked to be on the Girl Scout board.
Oh.
And when I thought, well, that'll be nice, you know, maybe I'll have a girl, and then I turn out he was a boy. I never did get on the Boy Scout board, but yeah, I was on that for a few years. That was the first board I think I ever served on.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Girl Scout?
Were you and Barbara on Girl Scout?
No, they turned out to be campfire girls, so then I. I switched from Girl Scouts to Campfire Girls. We had a campfire group for quite a good many years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for some reason, that was the popular thing at Lowell School.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived right there near Lowell, so
mm-hmm.
a block or so away, so we had the Campfire Girls thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, the Junior Charity League, one of, as I understand from Mel Richards, one of their main activities was the dental clinic.
Yes, we started that. I was on that for a long time. I was president of the Dental Foundation, the dental clinic.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on the dental clinic committee.
Mm-hmm.
We were down on American, well, first when I first knew about the dental clinic was when they had a little room, and it wasn't really a dental clinic then, but there was a little room in the community hospital where they were doing some dental work, and told him, and it went from there. We got the charity, they got the one of their own bungalows down on American Avenue at this it's the continuation school there now. It's at just right there by the Board of Education. Eighth and Long Beach Boulevard, I keep saying American. And then we moved from there, we got the bungalow out there.